The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
Well, we're kicking off a new series this Sunday for the month of November, and we want to focus on worship. Last month, we focused on warfare, and the two are so connected, and we had that demonstrated to us this morning by the Lord and by an awesome worship team who knows. I don't understand, so I know you probably, many of you don't either. I don't think we understand what it takes to be able to flow in the Spirit musically, and it takes an excellence in the instruments and in fostering the presence and the life of the Lord in your own life in order to catch what he's doing. I've often said that worship is kind of like you walking along until you find a river and then you follow the river. You might have a map that you're following, but when you get to the river and there's a current, get in the current. Just get in the river. It is so awesome. And many times the river is not where it was on the map the last time. You ever notice that? You play a CD at home and a certain song just rocks your world and leaves you and your house in a shambles, in a good way. And then you figure, well, I'll do that again tomorrow morning. And that same song just, why? The river moved. The Spirit of God is fluid and is constantly moving. No man can step into the same river twice. When he returns to it, both he and the river have changed. That's the truth. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of John in chapter 4. We want to talk about worship. Very familiar portion of Scripture. We know that Jesus has been in Judea and he wants to go to Galilee. And he decides, even though it's kind of against the rules, to go through Samaria. And it's because the Jews had nothing to do with the Samaritans. And you may remember that the Samaritans were basically another name for the 10 tribes that separated themselves from the two tribes of Judah and Benjamin. And they would not come under the leadership of Solomon's son, Rehoboam. And that was centuries earlier. So there was this rift. See, church splits go way back. Just saying. And there was this rift. So the Samaritans had nothing to do with the Jews, and the Jews had nothing to do with the Samaritans. But Jesus intentionally goes through Samaria because I believe he's planning on an encounter with a Samaritan woman, and he has it at a well. And you know the story. She asks, you know, some questions. She asks three questions, actually, none of them relevant. And Jesus answers them. She asks three natural questions like, why are you talking to me? I'm a Samaritan woman. You're a Jewish man. Why are you talking to me? He gives her an answer about water. Then she asks another natural question. How are you going to give me something to drink when you don't even have a bucket to dip down in the well? And not only that, do you think you're greater than the well itself and the Father who gave it to us? But along in there, so he reads her mail and tells her that she hasn't been the most righteous person that he's ever met. And they have some dialogue. And he prophetically reads her mail and tells her that she's had 5 men. And the one she's with now is not her husband and blah, blah, blah. I don't mean blah, blah, blah. It's all important, but not to today. But then she asks a question that is very relevant, and he is very eager to answer. And she says, I perceive, well, let's read it, or you'll say I didn't preach. Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 19. The woman said to him, Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in the Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. For the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman said to him, "I know the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ, and when he comes, he will tell us all things." And Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." The question that the woman asks, and a very relevant question, in fact, I believe it's possible that the whole reason that Jesus went through Samaria was to meet someone that would ask this question so that he could answer it, so that it could end up in the Bible, even though none of the writers of the Bible were there to know what happened, so he must have told them.
Right.
Or the woman did. You ever think about that? There's all kinds of encounters in the Bible where only two people are there, and one of them who writes about it wasn't there. Okay, it's just me. But it was important, and the question was, where should we worship? The Jews say here in, you know, in Judea and, you know, in the Holy Mount temple, and we say over here in the mountain, where shall we worship? And Jesus, I believe, lights up. And he said, "Oh, I was hoping somebody to ask." He said, "The hour is coming," in one verse. I suppose I should look at my notes. Verse 21, "The hour is coming." And then in verse 23, he says it again, "The hour is coming and now is here." What hour is coming? What was he saying? He was saying, "Oh, thank you for asking. We're in a new season where the place of worship is about to shift. And it's no longer going to be geographical. It's no longer going to be about worshiping over here or worshiping over there. But you shall be a house of worship yourself, because you are about to become the temple of the Holy Ghost. And you can worship everywhere you go, anytime you want to, because it's not about where you are. It's about who you are and whose you are."
Yeah.
And a shift was about to take place. And it took place on the day when Jesus Christ was crucified and the veil was rent from top to bottom so that God could get out. Because sin was no longer separating him from his creation, from his kids. And he wanted so much to draw near.
Yep.
And now, from that time on, worship totally changed. I love to come to church. But it's more because you're here than because God's here. And I don't mean by that, I don't mean God's not here. He is here, but he was at home too. I had a really good morning with him. Worshiping. With some of the most awesome worship leaders in the world, they're on Pandora. Radio, Bethel Radio Musical Network. I can pull them up on my TV, not picture, but sound. And it's like, oh, wow. And he was there. And sometimes he sneaks up on me and I'm going about my business, making my smoothie or something. And all of a sudden he's in my kitchen and it's like, come on, I got stuff I got to do. But I'm weeping or I'm, you know. He just shows up. But one of the reasons he shows up is because music is playing. And because I purpose to make my house a place of worship. I learned something. As many of you know, I lost my wife a little over a year ago. And I learned that my house is pretty quiet when I get home. Quieter than I like it, even though I like quiet. So you know what I started doing? Someone suggested, and it was a really good idea. I started leaving worship music playing while I was gone. And I walk into a whole different atmosphere when I get home. And it's not so quiet. And it's not so lonely. There's all kinds of spiritual activity. And you can say, well, that's silly. I know there's the old saying, if a tree falls in the woods and there's no one there to hear it, did it really make a sound? So if there's worship music playing and no one's really there, is it really making any sound? Yes, I can hear it from the hall. And I believe there's spiritual activity while I'm gone. And I believe it's positive spiritual activity. I believe there are angels that never leave my home. I mean, they may go check in with headquarters and send their buddy. I don't know how all that works. But I just know that in your home and in mine and in this room, there is so much spiritual activity that if we could see it, it'd probably freak us out a little bit. I believe that every one of you has at least one angel with you. Some of you need more than that. Just saying. The place of worship is wherever you are. And I thank God for worship teams, and I thank God for you. There's something about worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in the midst of the congregation, isn't there? It's very special. But we do need to understand that it's not the only place that we can worship. Roy, is Ben here? Oh, is he teaching or just in there? At a convenient time, go get him. Okay? The Lord was speaking to me, something for him. No hurry, though. Just whatever. It's important that we understand that the place of worship is wherever we are.
Yeah.
I remember one of the first times I realized this, I was actually years and years ago, had just moved to the area, to Elk River, was doing a construction project in St. Paul on Ford Parkway, a Lubavitch house, a Jewish synagogue. And I was up on the roof shingling, which I hate. The older I get, the more I dislike it. I didn't want to use the word hate again in case there's a kid in the room, and I know we don't say that word even though I hate it. So shingling, as most of you know, is pretty, it isn't like it doesn't take a rocket scientist. Especially once you've done it a lot, you just get into a rhythm. And I realized that I could shingle and worship at the same time, even without words. And I realized there was a flow of worship between me and heaven, if I could say it that way, and back. And there was just this love affair with God on that roof, Jewish roof. Maybe that was it. Had nothing to do with the place. Had everything to do with the person. And just a dialogue with God of just worship and adoration and love. And we need to know that we can do that. And we need to know that there's the ability that we have to connect with God anytime we want to. And it isn't about a geographical place. I trust, and I say this very carefully, but I trust that this is not the only time this week that you've worshiped. In this past week, I trust that you worship, and I don't mean necessarily music. Music is wonderful, and we'll talk about that in a minute, because music is a big part of it, but you can worship without music. I understand a lot of us are not musical. Hi, Ben.
Hi.
How are you? Can I tell you what I heard the Lord saying during worship?
Absolutely.
You probably couldn't stop me. No, you could. I heard him speaking a word to you, but he was used, because you're a military man, he was speaking to you in military terms. And this is what I heard the Lord say. He is marching into your life, and in the past he has marched in your life as a sergeant, but in the days to come you're going to find that he is going to be marching into your life as a general. And he's going to loom big in your life, and he is going to march into every aspect of your life as the general who knows your calling and knows who you are and loves you, and he's going to take over because he's the general. And I already know you are primed for that. That's what I was seeing in the spirit, and you're good with that. So I just want to encourage you to cooperate with what he's doing in your life right now. There is a new softness that he has been bringing to you and will continue to bring to you that will allow him to exercise his generalship in your life. Father, I just thank you for Ben. I thank you for who he is. I thank you for the call on his life to be your son and to be your servant. And I just ask you to bless him, bless his household, bless this little one. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Appreciate it.
Bless you. Isn't God fun? Well, he is. Jesus goes on to say, he said, you know, the hour is coming, and it's not about here or there. It's about worshiping in spirit, and really, and in truth. And that phrase, I want to suggest that we tend to overcomplicate that. He simply means that spirit worship is not about geographics. It's not about anything but being in the spirit. It's about a spiritual connection. I know many of us love certain styles of worship and certain because of what the music does to us in our soul, and that's all good. But we also need to know what it's doing in our spirit. We need to allow music and worship, whatever it is, to go much deeper than just the surface level. We have certain genres and all of that that we gravitate toward, and that is all good. But we must make sure that it is in the spirit, that it's impacting our spirit. You that are involved in worship, I encourage you to learn how to sing from your spirit. And I don't mean in tongues, although that can be part of it, but I encourage you to learn how to sing and lead from here, not your head. I know they who coach say, I think they say, sing from your stomach, and I understand that in the natural. But I tell you, there's something about singing from your spirit. In the spirit, in the spiritual. There's something about letting whatever you do, whether you're playing an instrument, but let it be spiritual. They that worship, it must worship in spirit. It must come from our spirit. Those of us in the congregation, when we connect, we must connect in the spirit. I want to suggest that when we got into it a little bit this morning, there was a lot of spiritual activity in the room. And the question we need to ask ourselves when we get into times of clapping like that, in times of celebration, in times of shouting, in times like that, we need to ask ourselves, not what's going on in my body, or not what's going on in my emotion, but what's going on in my spirit? Because I must worship in spirit. Small s. He's just simply saying worship has to be in the spiritual arena. Obviously, it's in the natural arena, but it must also be in the spiritual arena. I'm sure some of you musicians have had times when you get tired playing your instrument. But I gotta believe there's times when you get in the spirit and you could go on and on and on and on because it all of a sudden becomes spiritual. I remember two occasions that I've experienced where I got into dance and I could keep going and go. I could go and go and go. I don't get winded. I don't. Why? My feet feel light and I'm not as light as I used to be, nor are they as quick as they used to be. But do you know what I'm saying? And I got to believe musicians experience that same thing of just getting in the river, like we were talking about earlier, where there's a flow and it's not, it's like, it's more than just you. It is the Spirit, and we're worshiping in spirit. And in truth. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. And there's a way in which all worship should flow out of our awareness and our relationship with Jesus, our adoration for Him. He is the way into all that God has to offer. He is the door that we step through. Now, that doesn't mean we don't worship God the Father, and that doesn't mean we don't worship God the Holy Spirit. We can worship all three, but the reality is that Jesus is the truth. And true worship, that is worship that is the truth, starts with a love affair with Him, I believe.
Amen. That's right.
He can introduce me to a deeper level of love for God, but until I've But every new season I've found, and I would suggest it's true for all of us, every new season that He leads me into starts with an awareness of Jesus. Because He is the door into it all. And once we're through, the narrow is the way. Once we're through the door, oh my goodness, it's wide open. No man comes to the Father except through the Son. But we do come to the Father. Don't misunderstand me. Thank God we get to come to God the Father. But I get to come to Him through the Son. And I've found it over and over in my life, in my worship, in my adoration of the Son. Oh, my goodness, there's the Father. And there's the Holy Spirit. But we must worship our... Those of you who are married know that you can say to your spouse, out of habit, I love you. And it can just be something you always say before you leave the house or when you get up or whatever. But we need to love in truth. Many of you know, several years ago, we had three boys live with us who were not our own because of some family situation that they were in. And we noticed when they came that they were very familiar with the term, I love you. And we would say that to them. But there were, I remember quite plainly, there was a day when I said, whoa, 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 stop. I had said to one of them, I love you. And they just, yeah, I love you. And I said, whoa, whoa, stop. You probably remember this. For quite a while, we would do this. I said, wait, look at me. No, what I really mean is I love you. And we would say that from time to time to them and to one another as a family. Because we can just be flippant with our, yeah, I love you. Yeah, 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 great. No, no, no. Wait. I love you. I'm saying that with some oomph behind it. I'm not just throwing a word out because it's what dads or moms are. And so it is with our worship. In the same way with our worship, when we sing adoration and song to Him, it isn't a half-hearted. We must worship Him in truth. So when I sing, this is how I fight my battles, this is really, I really mean it. God, this is how I want to fight my battles. When we sing, I love you, Lord, I really mean it. It's not because there's writing on the wall or the screen. It's not because I've always sung this song. No, I want to pause for a minute. I want to say, Lord, I really love you. That's truth. That's worshiping in spirit and in truth. And really taking ownership of the words we sing. One of the dangers is for us as a congregation to allow the worship team to provide our worship for us and to create an atmosphere that we had nothing to do with building. And here's what I've found. If you had nothing to do with building it, you'll get very little out of it. It's when we together as a congregation worship him in spirit, from our spirit, with real wholeheartedness and truth. Really mean and understand the writing on the wall and really mean it. That it creates something in the room that we all can participate in receiving from, because we all participated in helping to create it. And we need to know that our worship and adoration for him attracts him. And it isn't that he's not in the room. Yeah, he's in the room, but he's not manifesting himself. But when we worship him with spirit and in truth, wholeheartedly, as a congregation, and give ourselves to it, I think Bill Johnson says that in worship, you and I become the sacrifice. And it costs us something. For me, I'll tell you, I can tell you what worship costs me. My attention. I have a very, very active mind. I'm all over the place. And for me to focus is a sacrifice. But I'm training and schooling myself to focus on him and to worship in spirit and in truth. Turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians, another familiar portion of Scripture. By the way, this encounter that Jesus had with the woman at the well is one of the few places where he said outright, in clear words, I am the Messiah. Yeah, right. He always kept it hidden. He spoke in parables and riddles, and he most often would refer to himself as the Son of Man. But to her, I am he. You say you're looking for the Messiah, and they were. Samaritans were looking for the Messiah just like the Jews were. He said, you're talking to him. Isn't that amazing? And she went and converted a city. Come and see this man who told me everything I ever did, she said. Anyway, but we're in Ephesians now. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. I want to encourage you to understand that there is a part of you that desperately needs worship, and that is your spirit. And even more specifically, the Holy Spirit that lives in you. I could ask you the same question Paul asked his readers. What? Don't you know you are the temple of the Holy Ghost? We talk a lot about the Father's sacrifice to send the Son. And we talk a lot about the sacrifice of the Son to come to the earth for 33 years and to lay down his heavenly position, if you want to say it that way, and become a human. But have you ever thought about the sacrifice that the Holy Spirit has made for almost 2,000 years? He's on the earth. And he's living in you. I would not want to be with you 24/7. Just saying. I would not. I some days don't like being with me 24/7, and you wouldn't like to be with me 24/7. But just consider the sacrifice of the Holy Spirit, and I know it. I know that the Holy Spirit is Spirit. So he can be a lot of places at once. But I want to suggest that he who wants... See, I do not... Here's what I believe. I do not believe, and I think Jesus implied this, I do not believe that the Holy Spirit could be sent to the earth until Jesus was back in heaven. My personal opinion. And I mean the actual person of the Holy Spirit. In fact, that's what Jesus said. It's necessary that I go. So when I go, I can send. In one place he said the Father will send. In another place he said I will send. It really doesn't matter. The truth is the Son and the Father sent the Holy Spirit. But they did not send him until Jesus was back in his rightful position in heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and for me. And I want to suggest that it was not wise to have two of the Godhead on earth at the same time. And I know we have the Holy Spirit descending on Jesus at the water of baptism, and we see all three of them at Jesus' baptism. We hear the voice of the Father, we see the Spirit descending like a dove and remaining, and we see the man Christ Jesus. So I'm not making a theological thing out of this, but I just want us to understand the Holy Spirit shifted his whole focus from being that being in heaven to being that being on earth. And in earth, in you, in me. And that part of the Godhead that lives in you, and I know brings the Father and the Son along with him, but that indwelling presence of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, brought in by the Spirit, needs to be around the people of God and needs to be around worship because that's what he was wired for. That's why worship playing can make such a difference. I encourage you, if you are not in the habit to having music playing softly in your home, whether you're there or not there, I would encourage you to do it. And if you're worried about your electric bill, oh, come on. It makes a difference. Worship, music, singing to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. Be the thought there is, be continually filled with the Spirit. Last Saturday, I did a Holy Spirit Day at the Community Alpha program at Christ Church. Bob Bagney's doing an awesome job of leading an Alpha program. And one of the people asked me in front of everybody, we had a question and answer, so if I'm filled with the Spirit once, why do I need to be filled again? And my answer was very simple, and most of you have heard it. My simple answer was, because we leak. We do. We leak. And if we're not leaking, we should. We should intentionally. I try to be intentional about when and where I leak. I'm just saying. Might as well make it count. Might as well give it away. Might as well have something. Might as well... Might as well... Oh, you going somewhere I don't mean. I didn't even think of that. That's how holy I am. We might as well, if we're gonna ooze the presence of God, we might as well do it deliberate, but you are going to ooze it. We have this treasure, but we have it in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the glory might be of God and not of ourselves. And so we need to be filled with the Spirit. And I want to suggest to you, as we read the book here in the book of Ephesians, one of the primary ways is worship. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart. I believe that one of the primary ways that we worship in spirit and truth is singing in the Spirit, either in English or in tongues. And by that, I mean getting into the Spirit and just letting words trickle and bubble up from your spirit that are not a song, but become one. And they become a song that only you can sing. Because it's your song. And I'm not talking about songwriting. I'm talking about in the Spirit. Just letting, with music playing or without music playing, just letting words bubble up. With a melody or without a melody, but speaking our love and adoration for Him. Surely you husbands and wives understand pillow talk. Where's he going with this? Oh, will you just speak to one another and just out of your heart, just say how you feel. And you've probably said it before, but that's not the point. You're saying it now. And that it's that same way with worship. It's just speaking my love and adoration for Him. In a melody or not, in words, but not words that someone else wrote. They're my words. And in tongues. Singing in tongues. Paul said, I sing with my spirit and I sing with my understanding. I speak with my spirit and I speak with my understanding. They're singing in tongues and they're speaking in tongues. And both are worship because we edify ourselves. We're speaking to God and our mind is unplugged, does not know what we're saying. We're speaking mysteries to God, not mysteries to Him. It's a mystery to me what I'm speaking. He knows exactly what I'm saying. And I can tell you, I don't know specifically what you're saying, but I can tell you this. It's the language of the heart. And it's a heart that's hurting, or it's a heart that's loving, or it's a heart that's whatever. But it is an honest truth connection with God. And we can do it in English just as well. Oh, we are going to go to a new level in worship. I declare that. I prophesy that. The Lord, yes. Go ahead. Give Him a hand. Father, we thank You. I am not I'm not asking God to do this. I'm declaring that He will. Right. Father, I thank You that You are going to take us to a new level as a congregation in worship. Father, I thank You that we are going to find ourselves being stirred and reminded by You to give worship priority in our homes. Not out of rote and not out of devotion, but out of relationship, out of love. Out of an awareness of the difference it can make for us and our kids. Father, I thank You that we as parents are going to be more intentional about helping our kids worship You, but on a kid level. Not religious silliness, but on a kid level. Just thanking You and loving You. I thank You, Father, that we are going to come to church on Sunday mornings and be more aware of the potential in our time of worship if we, as an entire congregation, will worship You from our spirit and speak the truth. And let the words that we sing be actual truth that we endorse and say yes to. We thank you for the amazing teams that we have, Lord. We thank you for the amazing voices. I declare that there's going to be new songs that will come out of this place that are unique to this house, worship songs that declare who we are and who you are to us, Lord. In the name of Jesus, for the glory of God. Thank you, Father. We declare, Father, you want to take us to a new level. Can we say yes?
Yes.
Can we say it again?
Yes.
Father, we say yes to you. We want to become worshipers. And the reason we want to become worshipers is because the word that we just read it said that's what our Father's looking for. Wow. I'll take that. Just take a drink. Let's understand this. When we worship, we open the door of our heart and we let words out. We let song out. Don't ever neglect to keep that door open and let some stuff come in of His love and adoration for you. Worship is a two-way street. It's about relationship. How would you feel if you were a parent and you had a little kid that would come and tell you how much he loved you all the time, but you never got to hold him? He never stuck around long enough to let you respond to what he or she just said. We just read, we should expect when we sing together, when we, you know, making melody in our heart, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, we should expect we get filled up. Take the time to fill up. I can't see the clock. There's a glare on it. Okay. Father, thank you for your word to us this morning. We love you. Just, I know I'm on your time now. Just tell it, let's take 2 minutes. Stand, let's stand. I can pray anytime. Just take a minute, and you don't have to be loud about it, but you can be. But just tell him in song or in word how much you love him. What he means to you. Put it in your words. He delights to hear our voice, especially when it's speaking things from our spirit and what we're saying is true. And by that I mean we really, really mean it.